Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to the Week 12 episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Callan Elsleger, joined as always by Brian Hartman and Mario Adamo Jr. And let's be the first to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you guys can enjoy the football, all that comes with Week 12. I know I'm going to be stuffing my face in with some turkey, mashed potatoes and stuffing. It's going to be a great day for football. But, you know, one day we're going to get to that. But so first we'll get to the action that was. But guys, how was your week 11? You excited for the Thanksgiving slate, all that good stuff?
Are you kidding? We've got football on more days than we don't this week. I'm about to lose it. We got a Friday game, we got Monday, Thursday, Sunday. Give it to me. This is the time of year, man. I'm pumped. Mario, what about you?
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. My favorite family tradition is, so on Thanksgiving, my mom and I will set up TV trays in the living room, and then it's just her and I in the living room while the whole rest of the family is at like the nice dining table, you know, like just all that good stuff. And I just absolutely love like football and family and food. That's the three F's of Thanksgiving. So can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm sure I will be doing something similar. May not be having the TV tray, but I will be checking my phone constantly for the 4 o'clock game just to see how my fantasy players do. But and probably telling my brother about why his teams are so much better than mine. But that's a story for another day. We had a extremely fun week of football once again, besides my Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll don't have to talk about that, but which is being capped off as we speak right now by the Eagles-Chiefs Monday night game. So if you hear an audible scream or anything like that, Mario is our resident Eagles fan, so we'll let him have an excuse for 1 week. He decided to join us again, so welcome back, Mario, from your wedding. It's good to have you back, and you may lose your voice in about an hour, so we'll try and cap this off for you.
Do my best, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll start off with the latest news, and well, we got a big news that we kind of saw eventually coming. I don't know if it's maybe big news, but it's news at least. Zach Wilson, the era with New York Jets, is officially coming to an end. He has been benched. Tim Boyle will be starting on Friday for the first ever Black Friday game in NFL history. So we will all remember the Tim Boyle debut for Black Friday football. But not only is Zach Wilson being benched, he's not even going to be the backup. He will be the third-string quarterback, while Trevor Siemian has officially been named the backup quarterback. It just makes me question all along why they didn't go out and get a Carson Wentz or trade for Jacoby Brissett or Josh Dobbs or anything after the Aaron Rodgers trade. But what do I know? I'm just a man sitting in front of a desk with a microphone right now. So it doesn't change a lot because we were having a lot of trouble starting your Jets players, but with your Garrett Wilsons, with your Breece Halls, we'll get into it more over the week for during the start-sit decisions, but your early thoughts, is it more confidence with those guys? Is it more concern? How do you feel about Tim Boyle?
In terms of Breece Hall, I'll say I don't think there's really much of a change here, right? Like, you already knew the defenses were stacking the box. Like, they're not afraid of what Wilson's going to do to them. They're definitely not going to be afraid of what Boyle's going to do for them. But either way, Hall was still producing, so Hall, I'm still firing up with confidence. The rest of the players, I don't think I was confident in the first place. But Brian, I'll let you maybe take that.
No, I'll just echo that. Like, we've got, you know, any confidence is more than what we had. I had absolutely no confidence with Zach Wilson. Left me with less disappointment, I found myself anyway. So I think this is only good. We may get, what did they go, 41 drives, offensive drives without a touchdown? Like, this is ridiculous. Let's go Boyle. I don't know.
It's something. It's a change that probably should have happened weeks ago, but it's nice to know that Robert Saleh has a pulse and is able to make that change when it's about time for it. So we'll see. We'll let the rest of our staff tell us more about what to do with Garrett Wilson going forward. But he's not the only quarterback who is going to be missing some time or to the injuries. And this one happened on Thursday night, so he probably got analysis. But Joe Burrow, goodbye, my sweet prince. I just traded for you in my home league. Got three good weeks out of you, and or two good weeks out of you. And then this Thursday night stinker, luckily I wasn't starting you. But he will be out for the season with a wrist injury. You knew right away that it was trouble. You saw him on the sideline, barely even able to grip the football. And we saw the what can happen to Ja'Marr Chase and the receiving corps without him. So same question, how far do you lower Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins with Jake Browning than compared to Joe Burrow?
Significantly. I think significantly. Maybe Chase, you can kind of still, you're still starting Chase, right? Like kind of same thing as Devontae Adams. It kind of reminds me of where it's like the player is just too talented. You can't bench them, but totally uninspiring play at quarterback. You're just kind of hoping that the offensive coordinator is going to draw up, just force feed our best player. That's going to be Chase. But for everybody else, for Higgins, for Boyd, Mixon, I'm still confident in though. I'll say Mixon. I still think he's going to get his, but definitely very, very worried about wide receivers 2 and 3 in Cincinnati.
I will say I'm actually pretty excited for Higgins. Higgins is coming off a week he missed, coming off a hamstring injury. So I love that this is the best excuse ever to sit him on the bench. Because if he's coming back from that hamstring, you'd want to play him. Do I not play him? Does he go out there and play one snap and then he loses you the game? Nope. No, he just go to the bench. That's just where he's going to sit until this backup can show us if he's any good.
Yeah, you got to monitor the situation closely. They have a good matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, but maybe not with Jake Browning at quarterback. So Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, they might be the only startable Bengals at this point. Maybe we'll see how they get involved T. Higgins. Now that he's going to likely be back for the injury, but got to give it another week. The injuries didn't stop there. Sunday was definitely a busy day in terms of injuries, so we'll run through some of the more major ones and get our guys' instant reactions right here. The first one, Kenneth Walker, left with an oblique injury. We've been touting up Zach Charbonnet for the past few weeks as someone that needs to be stashed, and right now, it's week to week. He's not ready to go on IR yet. Pete Carroll said it's way too early to tell, but they have a Thursday night game this week against the 49ers, so we know for sure Charbonnet is going to get at least 1 week as a starter, likely more. So, simple question, is Charbonnet the top waiver wire priority now as a result?
Yeah. I think he's going to have to be, just because of the sheer volume we're going to see that he's going to be as the... I mean, he won't be the lone back in that backfield, but... this is what you want. You want one back for Pete Carroll for the Seahawks. So
huge workload. The only thing that does worry me a little bit is the upcoming schedule is kind of brutal for the Seahawks. So you're playing the 49ers at Dallas, at the 49ers again, and then you're facing Philadelphia at home. All of those teams are pretty talented against the run. But as Brian mentioned, being the main running back, even if it is a mixed backfield, being the lead of a Pete Carroll backfield, opportunities are going to be flowing like wine for our wine guy, Charbonnet. So absolutely, I think he's the number one guy. And we've been echoing for weeks. It's like Ken Walker clearly was banged up. The Seahawks are already past their bye week, so he's going to need to rest and miss time, Walker, to get better. So huge opportunity for Charbonnet.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm fully in on that. That was good. That is good. We'll keep up with the running back. We'll get a little more into Charbonnet as we get to the rankings, but I think we all agree he's someone who's a must add for sure going forward. And maybe we've reached that league winning potential. He might be the guy you drop a lot of fab on, but we'll see what the rest gives us. Sticking with the running back position, Devon Achane, his first game back from IR. We've been waiting for this, and he probably wasn't fully ready. Knee injury, the same knee, that kept him out on IR. Again, we don't know the extent of it, but
why?
I've heard this question on a few podcasts right now, so we'll ask you guys, is Achane going to be fantasy relevant the rest of the year? Is this the end? Is he going to make a difference for you in your fantasy playoffs?
100%. If he's not day-to-day and back IR, that means it's not that serious. I think it's going to be scary if and when we get to that point that he's ready to be played, but I think he's just a play away. if he has the opportunity in the game, he's going to be viable for points. It's just, goodness, this is going to be a hot mess. This is why coming out of the draft, he was a scary prospect. He is small, and it just, I just don't have words. I'm too upset.
Mario, you just sounds. Oh, no words. Yeah, I do think that he will be back, but I'm nervous because you don't want it's. Let's say it's week one of the playoffs, right? And it's like his first healthy game back. Are you going to feel confident just slamming him in there? I don't know. I think you would. I think I would. So I'm still stashing him as long as he doesn't go on IR. I'm kind of hoping for that, but it reminds me a little bit of Mixon. I think maybe 2-3 years ago. Where it was just like every single day he was day to day. And 5 weeks later, it's like, all right, we're shutting him down for the season. It's like, how did we come here from day to day for 5 weeks? So yeah, monitoring for sure. For sure.
Definitely monitor those situations very closely. I wouldn't be shocked if not one or both of them end up on IR, but we'll keep it closely. Over to the wide receiver position. Cooper Kupp. Stop me if you've heard this before. He is currently day-to-day with an ankle injury. This is the same ankle that he had surgery on, I believe, I want to say a year or two ago. So it's definitely concerning. He looked in a lot of pain. He hobbled off, looked in a lot of pain on the sideline. So luckily they don't have the Thursday night game, but we'll see. Enough for good Rams news to go off that. Some running backs. Kyren Williams, Sean McVay confirmed earlier today. He will be back off IR this week, so that muddies the waters in Los Angeles. We'll get into that running back mix more than likely on the start sit show later in the week, but monitor the Rams situation closely. But sticking with the Kupp news, because also Puka Nacua is apparently dealing with, I believe, a shoulder injury at this point. He's day to day. Doesn't seem as severe as Kupp, but something to monitor. So do we expect to have Kupp this week? If we don't, is there any receiver worth monitoring for the Rams?
I don't think there's any receiver worth monitoring. I think it's going to be Puka still. And that's it. I don't think it's really too deep there. But it's day-to-day for Kupp. And even if he does come back, I don't know if I trust him. And he's had a history of injuries as well. I don't know if the Rams are going anywhere this year. So he's someone, I would be less surprised if we've seen his last meaningful fantasy snaps more than Achane's.
Ooh, yikes.
That's my take. I'm gonna say that now.
I'll apologize, people. This honestly, it's all my fault. I'm a first time Kupp owner this year. I jumped on the discount, and it's my fault. I'm sorry, folks. But I think Tutu Atwell. I think the great thing about this coming week is there's no bye weeks, so you have a lot more flexibility with what you have to play with. But I do think Tutu Atwell something to monitor if Kupp misses time. This offense, they're having to dump the ball out. This defense isn't great. So, we'll watch it and keep an eye on it.
Yeah. And another news also, another name worth monitoring, mentioning at the running back position that I skipped over in our notes. Aaron Jones, he left with what seemed like a pretty severe knee injury. He was in a lot of pain. It seems they haven't been able to ruled him out. It sounds like the MRI came better than expected, so he may not be out for the season, but he's likely going to miss some time. So A.J. Dillon's likely already rostered enough where he's not someone we want to mention here. But if he is available, just a good note to go get A.J. Dillon because he's going to have a lead role in Green Bay because they have like no other healthy running backs right now. So he's may finally be the fantasy player we've been waiting for him to be for, 2-3 years. But so if he's out there, go get A.J. Dillon.
Definitely.
On to the better news. We talked enough about injuries. I'm sure we're not mentioning somebody, but we'll get into it as the week goes on. But we'll talk about the guys who surprised us, the booms of the week, some of the big fantasy performances. And Mario, since your first week back, we're going to kick it on over to you. Your biggest boom of the week.
I'll say in my first game back, it should be fair that I mentioned somebody else's first game back. So Justin Fields came back after missing some time, faced against the Lions, ended up with about 21 points, I think 21 and change. But all that to say, Justin Fields looked great. I think he had over 100 rushing yards as well. And look good with his arm. I know him and DJ Moore, little spoiler, but they both looked great. So really happy about Justin Fields. I was kind of saying it early in the season. I think that he was going to bounce back. And even first game back from injury, he looked good. So really excited about him.
Well, you know, looking at the quarterbacks and the booms this week, it's a good looking week. This is how this fantasy season was supposed to look. You got Lawrence 1, Purdy 2, Herbert 3, Lamar 4, Josh Allen 5, Kyler 7, Justin Fields 8. That looks good. And then we got this eyesore, this 25-year-old rookie from Tommy DeVito. I legitimately wasn't trying to make that joke. It just slid out. But quarterback 6 coming out. Dude, the Giants put the romping on the freaking Commanders. Made me look so like, what in the world? Where did this come from? This team looked garbage. But you know what? I love to see it. The Giants, they had a little flair. DeVito threw an amazing over-the-shoulder pass to Barkley. Barkley had 2 catches in this game for touchdowns. Like, great game. 246 yards, 3 passing touchdowns. Do we have some life in the Giants? I sure hope so. I sure do.
At least Saquon Barkley, we've seen he could still be relevant. I was getting concerned after last week. He's still going to be an RB1. I may have been a little hot taking where he's better RB2. He's still an RB1 for most weeks throughout the year. They still have their bye weeks. So that's the one down thing. But at least we know Saquon Barkley is still going to have some life. We won't mention him in the booms because he's Saquon Barkley, but he had a very, very good game. 30 PPR points, 2 receiving touchdowns. When all your receivers are hurt and unproductive, you might as well use Saquon Barkley in the passing game. So it's nice to see a team do it. And as a fellow New Jerseyan, I am glad we got to shout out Tommy DeVito. I did it too, because this may be the only time we get to mention his name on this pod for something good. So happy to do that this week. And I'll just shout out Trevor Lawrence. We'll get to his teammates again. So you mentioned him, but 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns. We've been waiting all season for this game from Trevor Lawrence. And he finally did it in the week that everyone decides to jump off and see him on the bench. So at least we know he's still has these sorts of games in him. His next couple weeks, he's got some pretty intriguing matchups. He plays against the Houston Texans this coming week, then the Cincinnati Bengals, then a tough playoff stretch with the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens. But week 16 and 17, if you can get to the championship, the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Carolina Panthers, and then one more matchup if you play in week 18 against the Tennessee Titans. So hit or miss schedule. He can maybe get you to the playoffs. He may have to fade away, but if you can get to the championship, Trevor Lawrence has some juicy matchups there. So it's nice to see him bounce back. What you're going to do with him going forward, who knows? But we'll jump over to the running back position, where I'm going to kick this one off because it is one of my players on my team, which I didn't think I'd be able to say after you lose 13-10. But Jaylen Warren, 9 carries, over 100 yards, and a touchdown against the best defense in football at this point in the season with the Cleveland Browns. A lot of it came off the burst of speed, 74-yard touchdown run, but he looked awesome after after Najee Harris had himself a pretty ugly game. I think this was the changing of the guard. Najee's still going to get his touches, but I think going forward now, Jaylen Warren is going to be the back you want to start in Pittsburgh. He's going to be the one getting the majority of the work. We had this kind of last year where with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, which is a situation I've been kind of comparing this backfield to. The slow running back in Ezekiel Elliott, Najee Harris, that no one wants to be continue to get touches, but continues to get touches. Now Jaylen Warren's showing off this burst of speed, and the Steelers' offense show that they're pretty inept, as usual. So they're going to be in game scripts that are involved passing the ball, and Jaylen Warren is the better receiving back than Najee. So they're still going to be close. They'll still get, they'll probably be 55-45 split, probably more in Warren's favorite at this point, but yeah, Warren had himself the breakout game where we've been kind of waiting for. So shout out Jaylen Warren. What you do with him going forward, probably RB2. So we brought up for RB2 because that mixing with Harris is going to be too annoying to get him even higher, but low end RB2, but someone who could start week to week with a little more confidence going forward.
Definitely. I'm going to jump around a little bit to a wide receiver. I gave some flowers to Justin Fields, and I was pointing out when I do the sit starts, but if Justin Fields is playing and like the Bears offense is doing anything, it's through DJ Moore. He's the guy there. He finished with 22.6 points this week. He's someone, one of the easiest set and forgets going forward, I think. Don't be like me and bench him for Cooper Kupp, because you see how close the spread is in the Rams Seahawks game. You have to think Vegas knows something you don't. Don't get cute with it. Start your studs.
Yeah, start your studs. Like Gus Edwards. What? What? This dude has nine touchdowns in five games. So when I tell you I had a shrine to J.K. Dobbins in my closet this summer, I was all over him. I am ruined in so many leagues and so many, like, underdog is just destroyed because of J.K. Dobbins being gone. I don't know what this is. This is like a semi-victory lap. He would be so good this year. So good. God, and Gus Edwards is
instead it's Gus.
Yeah, he's a freaking RB10 because of it. Oh, it's crazy. He has more touchdowns than CMC. Rushing.
Just what we all would have said at the beginning of the season. You know what? Let's stick on the Y situation. I didn't draft a lot of this guy, but I know a lot of people who did. Damian Pierce was supposed to be this lead guy of Houston. The offense looks great. Imagine what he could be doing if he was actually pretty decent. Instead, Devin Singletary. 22 carries, 112 yards, and a touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals. As soon as you saw that Damian Pierce was out this week, you knew you could plug Singletary in your lineup with extreme confidence. And look at that. Two straight weeks now of over 100 yards and a touchdown. Well over 20 touches each of the last 2 weeks. Problem is, Pierce practiced towards the end of last week. He'll likely be back this week. And that's going to be extremely muddied waters. So, again, we'll get to it more on the start-sit show. But definitely some question marks going forward about what you should be doing with Singletary or Damian Pierce. But I want to give him the shout out because, as we all expected, Devin Singletary might be propelling some people to fantasy playoffs.
He might want to split the load next week. He's got 52 carries over the last 2 weeks. Like, he might want to take Turkey Day off a little bit, you know, and just goodness.
You got him on a, I believe it's a 1 year deal. Run him to the ground and let him walk and let someone else do it. That's what a lot of teams are doing with running backs, but.
Yeah, we talking about Trevor Lawrence bouncing back. You know what that means. That means Calvin Ridley also had a good game. 31 points, 31.1. I think he was the wide receiver one going into Monday Night Football. We talked about it in the preamble, but I'm going to just like say it here for the airwaves, is that every time Calvin Ridley plays and Zay Jones also plays, Calvin Ridley gets at least 100 yards receiving. So keep an eye out for that. If you're unsure about if you should plug Ridley into your lineup or not, see if Zay Jones is playing.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. Oh, this is extremely frustrating. I talk about it on the start sit show. Eric asked me what's going to happen with the Jaguar receivers. And I said, Eric, if I knew that, I'd be doing better in my leagues this year. And of course, that's the week that Calvin Ridley goes for his boom. Again, they have mentioned Trevor Lawrence's schedule. There's some favorable matchups for Calvin Ridley. What you do with him during those weeks? I don't know. Take Mario's advice. Find out when Zay Jones is playing and do the opposite of what you should be doing. I mentioned in our Discord, he's becoming full-on Gabe Davis for me. I don't know what to do with him,
ooh,
but I have confidence in him going forward now, and it's going to come back to bite me on this show. So will he be my lineup this coming week? Stay tuned on Monday when I either curse his name or shout his name to the heavens. But where he usually has been ending up this season has been our bust list, so I think this transitions us nicely into the bust of the week. And Brian, I'm going to let you kick us off. Your biggest bust move. Is anyone who values change in you from the eyes this week?
Ooh, it's got to be Josh Jacobs. He had 14 rushes for 39 yards. Nothing great. They really, really locked up the running game for both teams in this game. The Raiders and the Dolphins did. But I think the sad part was the one target. And that's just atrocious. As many times Aiden O'Connell threw 41 times in this game, so only one target going to Josh Jacobs is terrible. So this is now 3 weeks in a row that he's seen underneath a double-digit target share. So Josh Jacobs was somebody rolling on volume. So just seeing what's happening. I don't know if this is Pierce, the new interim head coach, taking over, maybe a change in offense a little bit, but it does scare me a little bit going into the playoffs here in the next.
Yeah, it's definitely something you got to keep a close eye on Jacobs. Obviously, volume's going to be there. You're going to be starting him, but you might have to temper some expectations. So monitor the game script, especially, very closely. Mario, over to you. Your biggest bust of the week.
Oh, biggest bust for me has to be Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is normally someone who you kind of think of in that Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown kind of tier where it's like you really feel like you can do no wrong starting him. And he came out flat. He did have 8 targets, which you like to see. Only caught 4 of them for 27 yards. That ain't going to get it done. So absolutely brutal. Also, looks like, oh, he had a couple fumbles. Looks like he had a fumble as well. So, yeah, really tough one. It is against the Jets, so I know the Jets play good against the wide receivers, so maybe like a little expectations were tempered. But he also played the Jets week one and had 26 points. So I take that back. You know, you have to outshine your competition, Stephon Diggs.
Two straight weeks now of three or four catches, barely under seven PPR points. They do have a game against the Eagles where you should be able to feast. So if he has a struggling week against the Eagles this coming week, there may be a concern. Maybe that injury that he was dealing with going into a week or two ago was hampering him a bit more. Maybe Josh Allen's injuries capping his upside a bit. But I'm not concerned about him yet. But if it's three straight weeks of this, then you really got to – you're never going to sit him. But again, you may have to start tempering some expectations. Mm-hmm. I'll stick with my Pittsburgh Steeler talk for this week and go over to Deontay Johnson. Eight targets. So you think, okay, things must be good for him. Two catches, 16 yards.
Ugh.
He's flex at best right now. The way Kenny Pickett is playing is an extreme concern. He's going to get the targets. So they're not going to be playing in some negative game script at times. But, you know, next couple of weeks, they play the Bengals without a backup quarterback. They play the Colts. They play the Patriots. They play the Cardinals. Any of those games sound like negative game script to you? And that's when Deontay Johnson gets his work. So I think at this point, he's, if you flex him and, you know, if it's a good matchup, but those are teams you can pass on, so you'd say you should be able to start him. But the way Kenny Pickett's playing right now is just a huge red flag. He's got that one touchdown, and I don't know if he's going to catch another touchdown because Pickett has two touchdown passes in seven games.
Yeah, we're hoping it's an anomaly. This is the first time, yes, Deontay Johnson's finished below four PPR points in back-to-back games in his career outside of injury games. So I'm hoping this ship gets right, but I don't know. Warren has looked so good, and it seems like he can do it all. So maybe they don't need Deontay Johnson taking, you know, his double-digit target share.
Yeah, if the Steelers are going to win games, it's going to be on the ground of defense, which means that Pickett's going to throw the ball 20 times for 100-something yards and
yeah,
no touchdowns and maybe be conservative and no picks. So you just hope PPR is way to a day, and that's not something I really want to rely on as we get closer to the fantasy playoffs.
Mm-mm.
A couple guys I want to highlight. Hollywood Brown, ever since Kyler has come back, it has not been pretty. Finishes the wide receiver 73 this week, 2 for 5, 18 yards. There's not a lot of confidence there. And Amari Cooper is another guy that is following up with no confidence. The rookie out there, they got themselves a win, but that's because this defense is gnarly in Cleveland. Amari Cooper saw 8 targets, only 4 catches, 34 yards. I don't know if DTR can get it done. Luckily, Joe Flacco, yes, he has risen from the grave or wherever he's been. He's been signed, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes, turns out.
Yeah, Jets, you know, you could have signed him, but nope. You just decided to stick with Zach Wilson and we're going to get Tim Boyle. I think Joe Flacco maybe could have been at least been somewhat better, but we'll see how that one goes. I'm concerned with Marquise Brown for sure. You'd think getting Kyler Murray back, things were going to be better for number one receiver. And, well, it hasn't really been the case. So, monitor Cardinals going closer. I completely agree with you. I don't know if either him or Cooper are startable this coming week, especially with the buys coming up. Or no buys, excuse me, coming up. But that's going to do it for the bus. We'll go over to the waiver wires and stashes, the guys we want to add for this coming week. And we started off the show talking about Zach Charbonnet. We talked about A.J. Dillon. So those are two guys that fully highlighted injuries have given them full send. You go get them. If they're sitting out there, they're going to get a lot of volume these next couple weeks while they're starting running backs work their way back. But, Brian, let's start it off with you. Any other running backs that, you know, compete with them in terms of priority? Someone that you miss out on the big ads of the week, who you're looking to go for?
Roshan Johnson, the rookie out of Chicago, is somebody I'm looking at. Donta Foreman was hurt early in the second half of this game, so the snap breakdown was Roshan Johnson 25, Khalil Herbert 22. Khalil Herbert's coming off of IR, still getting work back in, but this rookie's electric. He can catch the ball. And I wouldn't be surprised if he starts cutting more and more into the snap share in this backfield. So I really like him.
Yeah, I think it's the bear running back situation is going to be something you want to keep a close eye on. So Roshan Johnson could be. We're getting Khalil Herbert back, so we'll see how he plays into it. He came back last week, but let's see how that mix goes. But I like the call of Roshan Johnson. Mario, any other running backs that you are looking at to compete with the guys we talked about at the beginning of the show?
Yes. So if the wine man is already rostered somewhere, I also really like Ty Chandler in Minnesota. Alexander Mattison, he had the concussion, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and he still played pretty well last week. He rushed the ball 18 times for 81 yards, so that looks pretty good. Handled a majority of the carries. But Ty Chandler, he did pretty well for himself. He had 10 rushes for 73 yards, and he got the touchdown as well. So I just like, it seems like that the opportunity is kind of allowing Chandler to the circumstances are allowing Chandler to get some opportunities there, and it seems like he's really take advantage of him. Plays
he's
the
so
Bears.
Much faster.
He's so much faster. It just passes the eye test. It's like in the Steelers, where it's just like one of these guys is fast and the other's Najee Harris. And it's just and it's a good matchup. Like the Bears give up the 11th most points to running back. So I like Chandler a lot this week.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him as well. I picked him up in a couple leagues thinking that Alexander Mattison was going to miss time with his concussion, but he cleared the protocol. But like I said, Chandler is clearly the better running back, and the Vikings just continue to find ways to win games outside of that game on Sunday to the Broncos, but it was a definitely winnable game for them. Favorable schedule going forward. I think Chandler could be, there could be a change in the guard in Minnesota coming soon. And if you can get Ty Chandler, definitely worth the stash. Same thing for me with Keaton Mitchell. There's been another change in the guard. The volume was there. I was watching that Thursday night game with my roommate who is in the fantasy football. He knows what's going on, but he hadn't seen too much with Keaton Mitchell, and he looked at me. He's like, they keep liking this Mitchell guy. I'm like, I wonder why. I wonder who may have wanted to pick him up at some point. So the volume is going to be there. The Ravens, you know, their MO is run the ball, and occasionally let Lamar throw it to one of their receivers. So if Mitchell's out there, he's up there and has that Devon Achane light speed that can make a huge difference for you. So he's definitely someone I'm looking to add as well.
And then our weekly stash roundup for running backs. Tajay Spears needs to be picked up. Rico Dowdle, Kenneth Gainwell can be on that list. AJ Dillon, obviously we touched on a little bit ago, but he's probably rostered in a lot of leagues. But these guys just need to be picked up. You're in deeper leagues. You've got these bench spots. It's time to start picking up these really high side running backs because obviously injuries. I thought they were done. I could have swore I read that week 12 or week 10, like all injuries were done. But I guess I got the wrong script. I need to find Charles, I guess. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
I wish everyone always says it, but I'd love to play on a Madden setting where you can just turn injuries off. Let's just not worry about that. Let's not do this, because I certainly had my fair share of them in my leagues. Bye-bye, Joe Burrow. But, running back, I will say, it's pretty nice this week. We've had a couple weeks in a row where we've kind of been like, here's some decent guys, here's some stashes, but I like the upside with the running backs. I'm definitely more interested in some of these names, maybe because they're worse than most injuries. But, Mario, before we move on, let's rank them. Your top three or four priorities for running back, because we're going to need to make some decisions. They're dealing with injuries right now.
Yeah, tough cuts this week. I'll probably say wine man, Charbonnet is my number one spot. It is a very brutal 4-5 game schedule he has ahead of him. But running back in a Pete Carroll system, just too much opportunities. After there, I like Chandler. I think he is a little bit more rostered. Like you said, like people kind of got the jump on the Madison first concussion news. But then maybe you have to think when it came out that Madison was going to play, maybe he gets dropped again. So he'd be my number two. And then after that, probably Mitchell. I'd say probably Keaton Mitchell.
Brian, anything different?
I'm going to go Mitchell's my number one. Charbonnet is my two. And Roshan Johnson is my three. No, Chandler's. No, I'm going to go Roshan. Roshan three.
I will put Charbonnet as my one, Chandler two, and then I'll I'll say Mitchell 3. Yeah, I do like Piston. If AJ Dillon is available, Dillon would probably slide in for, you know, 2 for me right behind Charbonnet. If you need a win right now, we know those two are having jobs. But if you want more upside, I would definitely agree. There's more upside with why am I blanking? I say Mitchell. I don't know why I blanked his name. So definitely he's there for the upside. But if you need to win right now, it's going to be too much of a mix to make that huge difference right away. Go over to the wide receiver position where, once again, some kind of interesting names. I'm kind of liking this batch right now. Not the big flash, but at least there's a lot of volume to go out there. Mario, move over to you. Your top priority, who's the wide receiver you're trying to go out and get every bear this coming week?
Yeah, so here's one. Maybe not a fun or exciting name, but I'm going to say Greg Dortch, who in weeks 1 to 10 had 2 total targets. So it's like, who even is this guy? Not roster anywhere, 0% across the board. But you know what? He led the team 8 targets last week. I like it. I think Kyler's going to continue to feed him. And I really think that we're kind of at this point in the season where, you know, I think this is like the dart throws, the Dortch throw, I'm calling this one. There's a teaser. So not only for the name pun, but he'd probably be my number one guy that people aren't thinking about.
I love that. I freaking love that. I might want to get him just for that.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Mario. We miss you.
This is what I bring to the table.
Exactly.
Alrighty. So do I have to do it? Do I have to bring up Odell? Do I have to talk about him?
One of us has to. I feel like somebody has to.
Yeah.
Gosh. So Lamar's got love for Bateman. He wants Bateman to be good, but I think he's losing favor with him a little bit. But Odell is being more and more involved. And, you know, we need to watch the injury report. I think he's got a shoulder injury he's working on right now. So we need to keep an eye and see how he is dealing with that. But with Mark Andrews going out, they're going to have to change his offense up. And Isaiah Likely as a tight end pickup, obviously, but he hasn't been as involved as we've seen previously. So this new system, I think, is using more of the tight end because it was Mark Andrews, not because the tight end is using the system. So Likely will still be involved, obviously, but I don't know if he's going to take over the way he would have taken over last year in the non-Monken system that we're in this year. So Odell, Bateman, I think they're both shots in the dark, but I think Odell probably has the higher chance of being the target leader.
Yeah, I like that call. And it's a good point about the offense. Everyone's going to be talking about Isaiah Likely, and we will too in just a little bit, but maybe it is going to go with the wide receiver just based on the Monken system. I want to bring up Jaden Reed as probably my favorite target of all these wide receivers. You saw that burst of speed, and he showed he had that big touchdown run last week for the Green Bay Packers. So a lot to like with him these past 3 weeks. He's got a 14% target share, and you think 14%, that's not exactly anything to scoff to be that impressed with. Well, it's tied for the team lead with Luke Musgrave and Romeo Doubs just ahead of Christian Watson, who's at a 13% share. Jordan Love loves to spread his targets around, but I think we've seen enough now to know that Jaden Reed possesses the most upside of all those receiver targets, and he can turn a 10-yard pass and show up burst speed to break it off for an extra 20, 30 yards after catch. So if you're looking for the upside, the Packers had a good week, and you know they're going to be playing in a lot of negative game scripts, so if there's some targets to go around, I think Reed has some really high upside and someone that I'm looking to acquiring as many leagues as I can going this week. I've been really impressed with what I've seen in the past few weeks.
Yeah, read someone I speak pretty highly of in the waiver article this week. Little teaser there, and no pun there. Just call out that. Yeah, you'll want to read this one. There it is. There we go. We all found right. It.
Not your best. Not your best. Not your best. But any names that were, speaking of that article, you don't have to go into everybody, but any names that we've left off that list, so any receivers that, honorable mentions to this segment?
In my honorable mentions segment, I do give a shout out to Darius Slayton. Maybe it's just because I'm sipping the Jersey juice, but you know what? Like the Giants, they were moving the ball. It looked good. So Darius Slayton seemed to do the best. I don't have the stats in front of me yet. I do now. Darius Slayton, what did he do last week? He did caught 4 out of 5. You like to see that, 82 yards. And his longest catch was 40 yards. Got the touchdown. So keep an eye on it. Keep, you know, putting the feelers out, deep, deep leagues, or maybe even just not. They're playing New England next week. New England's kind of, you know, kind of bad. I think the worst team in the AFC, so, yeah.
A few guys that I think that could be more decoys, maybe guys that we shouldn't necessarily hit, are going to be a couple of the Moore brothers, Elijah Moore for the Browns, and then Rondell Moore in Carolina, or Carolina, I'm sorry, for the Cardinals. I don't think either one of those guys will see significant target shares. I think that they were more flashes on the day. And Khalil Shakir, I think, is also going to be one of those players. He's seeing a lot more snaps because they're running more 11 personnel. They're not running two tight ends, so he is the beneficiary of that. They're running three wide receiver sets, so he's out there as well. He's averaging four targets over the last 4 weeks, and I just don't think that's sustainable. He was able to pull off a good one in this matchup against the Jets. That's because they were all over Diggs in this one. So somebody you might be considering, but I think we have way better options than we've talked about here.
Yeah. One last shout out, Josh Downs. Excuse me, not Josh Dobbs. We mentioned him throughout this segment. He probably got dropped in a lot of leagues because he was on a bye, and he's had two straight poor weeks, but the schedule is extremely favorable for the Colts going forward to play the Buccaneers this coming week, the Tennessee Titans, the Cincinnati Bengals, who, you know, their defense hasn't exactly been anything this guy, the Steelers, who you can throw on, the Falcons, Raiders, a real good schedule. So if you are looking to get a Colt who may be making a playoff push going forward, Brian and I might not be friends after this playoff push, but let's face it, do I really want the Steelers to make the playoffs anymore? We'll see. But yeah, if Josh Downs is out there, I think he'll be headlining this article after this coming week. So just an honorable mention. He might not be my number one priority, but someone that should be rostered in way more than the 40% that he's currently rostered at. So let's rank them real quick. Who are you prioritizing the most of these names before we move over to our streamers?
I'm going to go Odell, Reed, and then can I say Downs?
You can say Downs, yes.
Let me go Downs.
Ooh, I'm going to ride with my guy, Greg Dortch, the Dortch throw. After that, I do like Odell. He's kind of in the hot hand. And then Reed. And then one of these receivers from Green Bay, between Reed or Dobbs, like one of those guys I think is going to emerge, and I'll say Reed.
I will go with Reed, Downs, then Odell. But again, good week for receivers. It kind of talked me into it a little bit, being a better week than I was thinking it might be for that position. Let's go over to our streamers. We don't spend that much time because everybody's off bye. So you're probably not streaming the quarterback position, but maybe you lost Joe Burrow. Maybe you lost, maybe you're not as confident in the other quarterbacks. You may need to play somebody in right away, but let's start with you, Brian. Your favorite streamer of the week?
I'm gonna go with Michael Mayer, the rookie for the Raiders. I think in a decent matchup. Honestly, we're throwing this out for the Mark Andrews owner. If you don't have a tight end by now, folks, come on. We've been trying to help you out all season. We've thrown out the Laportas, the McBrides, the Kincaids, the Fergusons. Come on, folks. We've got a tight end by now, don't we? I think we do.
Yeah, I do like Likely a lot. I feel like Likely, I talk about him a lot in the waiver article about he had three finishes in the top nine last year. Like, I think he did a really good job of slotting into Mark Andrews. I think it is more that Mark Andrews is so talented. That's why he's involved. But I think that the tight end playbook is deep enough in Baltimore where whoever is the guy there is going to get five catches, 50 yards more often than not. And you know what? In tight end, like, that's, you'll take that.
Yeah, I like that, and I think Likely he's going to get the work. Michael Mayer is another name that deserves some attention this coming week. He's continuing to be a little bit more involved for the Raiders. They continue to throw the football some more. Last week he had a good week, five targets, four receptions, 46 yards, had a touchdown the week before that against the Giants. They do have a bye, but another team with a favorable schedule. They're going to be throwing against the Chiefs. Week 14 played the Vikings, week 15 against the Chargers. Those are some teams you can kind of throw on, especially with the tight end position. So I do like Mayer as another option if you're missing out there. And now we'll go over to the quarterback position because I don't remember now if I said quarterback or tight end, and maybe second guess myself, but you're streaming our streaming quarterback options this week.
Yeah, this week's ugly. It's not Tim Boyle. I'll tell you that. It's not Tim Boyle. It may or may not be Matthew Stafford, depending on the cup injury. You know what? I might say Derek Carr. I might say Derek Carr. Take my car out. Just double checking something. He is going at Atlanta. Atlanta's kind of soft. You like the divisional game. He had the bye week this week, so I think maybe New Orleans figured something out, figured out some secret sauce. Before the bye week, I'm seeing Derek Carr had 5 points against Minnesota. That's not inspiring. But before that, a few high teens.
The defense has been playing better for Minnesota, though. So
yeah, so we'll live with that. So it'll be Carr.
Somebody this week, I like Baker Mayfield. He's 47% owned, so you still should be able to get him in one QB leagues. But going up against Indianapolis, they're a defense that you can move the ball on. He's got several really good options between the running back and his two receivers. So I think Mayfield can be thrown out there as a streaming option.
I'm going to go with Jordan Love for this week. Last week, he had over 300 yards, two touchdowns against Los Angeles Chargers. The week before, two touchdowns, two picks, but against Pittsburgh Steelers, 289 yards. So he's starting to look a bit better. We're talking about how we like the Packers passing game in terms of receiving weapons. Well, they play the Lions, and they're a team that you're going to be throwing to try and catch up on Thanksgiving Day. I think Jordan Love, he's currently about 45% rostered in ESPN leagues. So if you need a quarterback to stream this coming week, I think Love has some potential. And he does play the Chiefs after that, but going to the playoffs, he also has a favorable schedule. So he might be somebody that you can stream your way to a solid week this week. And I'm a fan of Love going forward.
Love that.
Yeah. And we'll let the rest of our options, we'll go to your QBList.com. There will be some quarterback streaming articles to talk about some of the other quarterbacks. But, it's an interesting week. You might not need to be doing it, but you may need someone to replace someone like Joe Burrow. We'll wrap up, as we always do, with the defensive streamers. Again, maybe not doing too much of it because there's no buys, but we always are looking to get advantage at that position. So who do you guys like if someone to pick up for defense?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and take the Broncos. This defense has looked so much better since their humbling days of that 70-point loss to the Dolphins. They're about 33% owned. They're going against Cleveland. Probably going to be the rookie DTR. Could be Joe Flacco. But this right now, Vegas has this game at 35.5 points. That is grossly low. This is going to be a slugfest. I'd be willing to bet there are more defensive points scored than offensive points in this game. But that's what you like to be a part of when you're streaming defenses.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to say my first one that I love would be the Dolphins defense. Of course, going against Boyle Boys. But they're probably rostered in a lot of leagues. So I'm going to go back to the Saints. I mentioned them with Carr versus Falcons. I believe it's no more Heineke. We're going back to Ritter. So, yeah, I'm not a lie there. But maybe Arthur Smith is trying to lose his job. So, yeah, I like the Saints defense there against
I'll throw over the New York Giants as someone who I'm a big fan of this week. Last week had 19 points with 3 interceptions, 4 sacks against Sam Howell and the Washington Commanders. They play Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi-led New England Patriots. That doesn't scare me. So if you need a streamer, both teams in that matchup, it's Patriots-Giants, can be a very low-scoring game unless Tommy DeVito decides to be Tommy DeVito and not Danny DeVito this week. So we'll see how that one goes. But if you're looking for a streamer, that matchup could be good for that. And if I had to pick one, I might lean the Giants way this week. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. We had a good week for waivers. I think we've seen a lot of good targets to go after with all these injuries. So hopefully you guys are able to fill out your rosters accordingly. As always, you can find the show on Twitter at VQBList and all the work that we continue to put out week in and week out at QBList.com. Streamers, start sit, what we saw, all of that good stuff that you're looking for this coming week. A lot of good things come out. As a reminder, with the Thanksgiving holiday, we will be producing some of that content a little bit earlier than usual, so keep an eye out for that, but it's going to be good stuff. Just remember to make sure you set your lineups before you go out with your friends Wednesday night or before you have your big Thanksgiving feast on Thursday, because those games come out earlier than usual. Right. So just make sure you are ready to get those lineups set accordingly.
They creep up on you.
What was that?
Oh, they creep up on you, those games, like noon Thursday game. It's like, wait a second. Yeah.
Yep. I've definitely missed it once or twice in my life. So can't be doing that best week. So before we go, as always, find me at Twitter at Callen_Elsliger. Brian, Mario, plug where you can find yourselves and anything else you got going on.
Yes. So you can find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr., all one word. I also do the waiver article. So that should be ready and available at the time you're reading this. And I'm always in Twitter, in Reddit and all of the threads, the QB list threads, trying to answer some questions. So keep an eye out for me there.
And you can find me on Twitter at @too_much_Brian. I will be, I guess, in and out of both the podcasts now for a semi-regular basis. You can find me on my weekly tight end article as well. I guess we'll be dropping that early as well.
Yeah, like I said, Brian said you'll be finding all three of us plugging in at the start-sit podcast throughout the weeks as the season wraps up. A lot of good stuff. We're getting towards that playoff push, so can't wait to see what that can get us. So for all of us here at QB List, I'm sure you'll hear it from the start-sit show, but have a happy, healthy Thanksgiving and enjoy the football that comes with it. We'll talk to you again.
See you later.
Peace.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.